Let's pray. O God, the strength of all who put their trust in you, mercifully accept our prayers. And because through the weakness of our mortal nature, we can do no good thing without you, grant us the help of your grace to keep your commandments, that we may please you in will and deed, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. Jonathan Bush shares a story about a woman who went to the doctor's office where she was seen by one of the new doctors. But after about 4 minutes in the examination room, she burst out screaming as she ran down the hall. An older doctor stopped her and asked what the problem was, and she told him her story. After listening, he had her sit down and told her to go relax in another room. The older doctor marched down the hallway to the back where the first doctor was and demanded, "What's the matter with you? Mrs. Terry is 63 years old. She has 4 grown children and 7 grandchildren, and you told her she was pregnant." The new doctor continued to write on his clipboard and without looking up said, "Does she still have the hiccups?" There's good doctors and there's bad doctors out there, amen? I think we've probably had a little bit of both. But my brothers and sisters, the Lord Jesus is the good physician who cures the canker of humanity and who makes us whole and new. And while in the Gospels we oftentimes see folks coming to Jesus for restoration because of their physical plight, we must never forget that the doctor first came to us at the incarnation. As it is sung every Christmastide, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Amen?
Amen.
And in our Matthew text today, there is a great line from Christ, and I hope you heard it well. "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick." The Pharisees, as religious leaders, thought they were healthy, when indeed they were not. You see, the doctor came for them as well, not just for tax collectors, but for all. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But the calling of Matthew, who was also known as Levi, is one of the great high points of his gospel. I think there's a little bit in this short little passage that we miss. And we're going to take a look at it this morning. And if we understand it better, it will have huge implications for how we go about our mission in our world today. Now, Jesus has just returned from the other side of the Sea of Galilee to his new hometown of Capernaum, the base of his operations for his ministry. And while on the other side of the water, what was he doing? He was casting out demons, and the people begged him to leave that region. So imagine the doctor coming over and curing you, and the people say, "Please go away." When Jesus gets back, some folks bring him a paralytic on a bed. As the good physician, Jesus does what? He heals him, which makes the crowds afraid. Yet they glorified God as well. So our story today begins with Jesus passing on from this miracle when he encounters Matthew. He calls Matthew to leave his old life behind and follow him. And this is nothing new. For earlier in this gospel, Jesus has already called Peter and Andrew and James and John to leave their nets and their boats as fishermen to follow him. But there's a big difference with Matthew. Matthew is a man of reputation. As a tax collector, he would have been considered a traitor because of working with the Roman authorities and their cohorts. He also would have been despised because tax collectors were notorious for not being honest and getting more than what was reasonable and just. But whereas Matthew's culture would have shunned and abhorred him, Jesus not only calls him, but pays him a house visit. You see, the doctor has come for all people, fishermen, religious leaders, sinners, and yes, even tax collectors. I like how they put IRS agents at the bottom of the list. No one can say that they are well and don't need the help of the good physician. Amen?
Amen.
And Jesus, the doctor, has not just entered our world, but into the people's lives. For throughout the Gospels, Jesus goes into many, many homes. Have you ever noticed this? He goes into people's houses all the time. He's always doing this. He goes into the homes of Simon the Pharisee, Peter's mother-in-law, Jairus, the synagogue leader, and even into the home of Matthew, the tax collector. The point is simple. The point is very, very simple. The doctor makes house visits to a variety of people. Some were rich, others were poor. Some were prestigious and had influence in the culture. Others were rejected and hated and considered outcast. Jesus came for them all. He came to save them from sin, from death, and from the powers of hell. And so this morning, let us behold the mercy of God in Jesus Christ, and let us recall how life-changing it can be when the doctor is in the house. Amen?
Amen.
So if you'd like to follow along, we'll be beginning in Matthew chapter 9, verse 9 in your Bibles. Now, Martin Dell shares that from 1987 to 1990, televangelists in the USA were discovered to have committed fraud, mismanagement of funds, and infidelities. Not a good trifecta there. The first scandal was Jim and Tammy Baker's Praise the Lord ministry, also known as PTL. In 1986, PTL's income was $129 million and included a 2,300-acre religious theme park, a hotel, a shopping mall in North Carolina, and its own TV station consisting of 1,200 channels. Wow. In addition to this, Jim Baker had an affair with his church secretary in 1980 and paid her about $265,000 to keep her quiet before resigning in 1987. But wait, there's more. The IRS then investigated the Bakers and discovered that they had diverted $4.8 million for personal use. Jim Baker was sentenced to 45 years in prison and fined $500,000. When news spread about what he had done, his friends quickly abandoned him, as did his wife shortly after he was sentenced. 6 months into his prison term, he was surprised one afternoon when called into a room. He had a visitor, and it was none other than Billy Graham. Baker asked why he had come, because he knew that Graham's reputation would be on the line, would be at stake here. Graham replied that he was his friend in good times and in bad times. Baker's sentence was eventually reduced to 10 years, and when he was released on parole, he had nowhere to go, nowhere to stay. The Grahams took him in, and on the Sunday following his release, Ruth Graham took him to church. And there she introduced the infamous Jim Baker to everyone as her friend. My brothers and sisters, when we think of the mercy of King Jesus in our account this morning, we must first recall that right before it, when Jesus heals the paralytic, he says something that causes a frenzy with the scribes. Jesus tells the man, "Son, be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven you." So behold the power of mercy, and then this mercy is carried over into the calling of Matthew. But just where was Matthew set up in town? Tax collectors would have been on the outskirts of town near crossroads or bridges. However, Craig Bloomberg notes, Matthew's station was probably located on the landing stage of the lake, where commercial ships would arrive from territory outside the rule of Herod Antipas. The tax Matthew collected then would more specifically have been customs duties. All right? So imagine coming back into the USA and someone saying, "Have you anything to declare?" And you say, you write on the little thing, you just say, "Well, I have a couple of trinkets here and there." And like you pay to Caesar what is Caesar's. And then imagine the customs official saying, "Give me $40. You can imagine why people like this would not be treated well or respected in that culture, right? So these folks were allowed to collect more than necessary for their own profits. In the Gospel of Mark and Luke, Matthew goes by another name, however, and that name is Levi. Historically, Levi was the third son of the patriarch Jacob, and his descendants were the tribe that provided religious duties for the people of Israel. And yet this Levi is serving not just the Jewish people's overlords, but indeed himself. In Matthew's gospel, he isn't identified with the very Jewish Levi, however. He uses the Aramaic name Matthew, which means gift of God. And Matthew is a gift of God. And when he is called by Jesus, he gets a second chance. Verse 9 notes, as Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, "Follow me." So he arose and followed him. This is radical. The man leaves behind his booth and his station to follow a rabbi. And the text doesn't say if Jesus and him had ever interacted before. Certainly Jesus' reputation would have been well known in Capernaum, as it was throughout all of Galilee. But the power of mercy and the call of Christ compels Matthew to abandon it all. And what does Matthew do as a result of that? He throws a party. He throws a party and he invites his friends to meet Jesus. You know, the kingdom of God is like a party. Matthew had experienced the power of mercy, and so would all who came to his home because the doctor was in the house. A pastor shares a story about Albert Einstein, who attended a dinner party one evening, and his young college student neighbor was seated right there beside him, but she didn't know who he was. And so during their conversation, Albert Einstein's neighbor asked the white-haired scientist, "What do you do by profession?" "I devote myself to the study of physics," he answered. And the girl looked at him in astonishment. "You mean to say you study physics at your age?" She exclaimed, "I finished mine a year ago." Imagine the shock when she found out who he was. Well, in our story today, guess who's coming to dinner? It's not just that Jesus enters the home of Matthew. He sits at table with many folks who were looked upon as the bad batch. Matthew France comments, "The main point is that Jesus was prepared to sit at table with sinners, a term which could apply to the common Jewish people who could not or would not keep the scribal rules of tithing and purity, but is used more widely of the immoral, heretics, and Gentiles." And I get this, here we go again, as well as tax collectors at the bottom of the list, the lowest of the low. Now, for Jesus to share a meal with people like these expresses the power of mercy. Mercy begets mercy. Say that with me. Mercy begets mercy. Matthew had been called by Christ, and he simply had to celebrate with his friends. Yet it wasn't just Jesus who sat down with his people. It was also his disciples, Peter, James, John, and the others. So imagine how interesting this meal would have been for them. The Lord Jesus is showing mercy to sinners and teaching his followers how to be merciful. For remember the Beatitude, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall be shown mercy." Just what kind of rabbi is Jesus? The disciples must have been asking themselves. And that's basically what the Pharisees asked the disciples, saying, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? What the heck is going on?" What Jesus was doing was an offense to them. Yet Michael Green notes, Jesus was totally relaxed in the presence of sinners and outsiders of every kind. They loved to be with him. He was so attractive. He was such good company. When the Pharisees saw this, they were scandalized. So Jesus confronts them. He basically tells them, "The doctor's in the house. I've come to make a house visit to the sick." And then he tells these religious leaders to go back to seminary and learn what this means. "I desire mercy and not sacrifice." The Orthodox Study Bible explains that "I desire mercy" is not a rejection of sacrifice per se, but shows that mercy is a higher priority. And therefore, Jesus' quote of Hosea 6:6 is striking. "I desire mercy and not sacrifice" highlights that Hosea's audience was all about the ritual, the external, going through the motions. Despite their outward devotion, guess what? They were displeasing to the Lord. Their hearts were not in the right place. and neither were the Pharisees in our story. The point is this: Jesus came for everyone, for all sinners, not just the disciples he called or the outcast he reclined at table with in Matthew's house, but even these religious leaders, even these Pharisees who had either forgotten mercy or never had learned it to begin with. And so the power of mercy is great. Make no mistake, my brothers and sisters. Tax collectors and sinners certainly need a house visit by the Lord Jesus Christ. But so did these religious leaders who needed the doctor in their own houses. James Vilgos highlights that the church is a hospital for sinners. Have you ever heard this expression before? Some are content with placebos, fake medicines that you think are healing you. You feel so good. Things that get you excited, like music or a joke in the sermon, an emotional speaker, things that they receive as entertainment, and you think that that is the Holy Spirit. Some just seek plastic surgery, make an appearance, walking around with a big and unused Bible in their arms. They look good, but they are the same inside. Some are satisfied with painkillers. Messages of hope are important, but like painkillers, are addictive and don't address the actual disease. These first three are just a few tidbits on a plate. But others seek the banquet table and the greater and more lasting delights. They come for healing from the cause of their illness, which is sin. They get inoculations from viruses, which are heresies, by learning sound doctrine. And they come for a transplant and receive a new heart. My dear friends, as we bridge this passage with our own day, I wonder if parts of the church have become too much like the Pharisees. Some people too quickly label folks to be in the bad batch, forgetting that they themselves are sinners who need God's mercy and grace in Jesus Christ alone. So there are two golden nuggets that we can glean from our text today. The first is that the doctor must come into our own houses, meaning Christ must come to live within each of us. What we see in the call of Matthew is the call of any disciple: follow me. Follow me. The power of mercy is in the call. The doctor knocks on the doors of our hearts. Come ye sinners, poor and needy, weak and wounded, sick and sore. Jesus ready stands to save you, full of pity, love, and power. And when we answer the Savior's call, what joyous celebration! Jesus comes to live in us, abiding in us, making his home in us. And the doctor's presence changes everything. He heals and restores the sin-sick soul. And we, who have received his mercy, then are eager to graciously bestow mercy upon others. For mercy begets mercy. And this brings us to the second nugget. The doctor is at the table within the house of his church. We who have received mercy still need mercy. Go figure. We still need mercy all the time. And this is why in our own Eucharistic liturgy and the prayer of humble access, we come to Christ's table trusting in his mercies and not in our own righteousness. Come ye weary, heavy laden, lost and ruined by the fall. If you tarry till you're better, you will never come at all. But our Lord's character is always to have mercy. And this mercy leads sinners to be fed. For he is not just the host of the feast. He is the very flesh and the very blood. He turns sinners into saints and he offers them life-giving union with himself now and forever, that we may evermore dwell in him and he in us. So my dear friends, every Sunday at the Eucharist, the doctor is in the house. Amen? Ron Prosy recalls a woman who once came to D.L. Moody and said, "Mr. Moody, I would like to become a Christian, but I'm so hard-hearted." Moody replied, "My good woman, did the master say, 'You soft-hearted people come'? Nothing of the kind. If your heart is hard, who will soften it? He said, "Come unto me, all black hearts, vile hearts, corrupt hearts, deceitful hearts, all." If you can't come as a saint, come as a sinner. If you can't run, walk. If you can't walk, creep to him, but come. Therefore, come with me, my dear friends, to the table of our Lord. For I will rise and go to Jesus. He will save me from my sin. By the riches of his merit, there is joy and life in him. The Savior beckons each of us by his unfathomable mercy. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The doctor has come for the sick in this decaying world, and right here, right now, the doctor is in the house. Let us pray. Almighty God, you have not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Grant that we who for our evil deeds deserve to be punished, by the might of your grace, may mercifully be relieved through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.